us informed, trying to do corporate speak, made us aware, that was it, of the change in workforce. I just texted her. I was like,
Oh
"What
my
the
gosh.
fuck?"
Jeez, just what trash terminology.
It all is. And you just might as well hit record because this goes right into what we're going to talk about
I hit record just about 30 seconds ago.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, any sort of corporate speak is just, it's insulting and it's grotesque. It's the old George Carlin bit of sorts. Because it used to be like, what was it? PTSD used to be called shell shock.
Oh,
Because it
yes.
mattered back then. Like, you did something about that. And, the whole bit ends with him going, maybe if it was called shell shock, we'd actually get something done with these people. I guarantee fucking tea or something like that. But, and it's like the kind of eye-opening, but just calling a layoff a reduction in force. And the fact that there's
Yeah.
marketing people that are selling these businesses on these terms, or there's like a person in on staff that's like, "Well, we need a better word for layoff. We're firing him, but not firing him. Hey, how about layoff? That sounds pretty good. We're laying you off of your job," which doesn't make any sense really. And
No.
then, well, layoff's got too much of a stigma to it now. So what can we say? How about a reduction in force? Hey, that's real. That you know what? That actually is works, and it's very good.
Just
And
wow.
then everybody who actually goes through it goes, "Yeah, they got rid of me." I
Yeah.
was part of the reduction in force, everybody. No, you weren't. They kicked your ass out. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, when I got let go during the pandemic, yeah, they essentially fired me. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I was let go or whatever because of, and I mean, at least in that situation, I kind of understood why the account that I was working with was no longer with the company, and that shit kind of happens. but it still sucked. Still's getting fired. Still not fun.
Yeah, getting fired is rough. Especially when it is your fault. Like you have no means of going, "Oh, come on." It's like, "Fuck, man. I got nailed."
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious. At the wife's office there, they went to a they had organized a office party outside of at a local establishment, and someone got into a fight at said establishment and got fired for workplace violence.
Dude,
Jesus Christ.
we have to take these, and maybe you do too. We've got to take these diversity and workplace etiquette or something. And one, they're just sexist and bigoted. Like, it teaches you how to sexually harass somebody. By showing you the examples, you go, "Oh, all right, I won't do that, but I can do this." Complete ignorance. Then there's the whole garbage about if it just because it didn't take place at work doesn't mean that you're not at work. And I go, "I'm not getting paid. I'm not at work. We are at a work function. You pay me to be here?" No. It's the overreach of stuff like that. Like,
Yeah, I will say that it does seem, again, at least from where I'm standing, we still have a little leeway into getting to that level of corporate. You know what I mean? Like I definitely know people that have to deal, well, obviously you have to deal with that, but No, thankfully no classes or any shenanigans like that. It would honestly be hard for me not to have some type of thought in my head, because just listing the countries of people of origin that I work with presently at my office: Iraq, Bangladesh, Nepal, the Philippines. Am I missing any? I think I am, but that's at least a nice little smattering of the international flavors in in our office. So there is plenty of diversity just by actual participants in the process.
The thing is, I'm from home now. So we have a meeting. Well, we used to have a bunch. I don't know what's going to happen now. But now, there's no diversity. You're talking to a name on a messenger now. You know what I mean?
Oh.
There's no face to face. There's no hearing someone's voice. I mean, you can call if you want, but still.
It's all chatting now.
Yeah, so you're teaching me workplace diversity when I'm not actually dealing with this person. Do you think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something, well, if I ask the one Chinese person I work with, which I don't have a Chinese person I work with, if they're from Ching Chong, China, and they'd be like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "Did I spell it wrong or something?" For those who don't know, that's a Xia Li reference. So, in case you haven't paid attention, but.
Yes. It was a little eyebrow raising, but less eyebrow raising after looking up her actual origin on Wikipedia.
Well, then also seeing how it's spelled too.
Oh,
That's a
yes.
honestly, did you think it was going to be spelled that way?
I guess I was unsurprised when I'm like, yeah, that looks like a Chinese spelling. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen enough Chinese names that I'm like, oh, okay. That makes a little more sense rather than what popped into my head and
Yeah.
yours when you first heard
I was seriously like, what did they just say? And I swear I'd
it.
heard that before, and I just never said anything because I was like, I certainly heard it wrong. And I know with the age of DVRs, I could have just gone backwards, but I was like, it's not that important. And then it stuck out again. I was like, there's no way that's what they just said. Then I rewound it. I was like, oh my God, no one's calling them on this? And when you said you couldn't find it, I was like, what? There's no chance they're doing this.
Well, yeah, because I was, of course, I was spelling it incorrectly
Okay,
when I
fair.
was looking for it on Google Maps. So, after looking at her wiki, it's like, oh, okay, this makes a lot more sense than what offensive words I heard on TV.
Yeah, it's
Or what? Yeah.
they're doing something serious, and I'm sitting there going, "What are you guys doing?" And I'm like, "Was that my fault?" I
Oh.
We grew up in a much cooler age than right now, so I still got all my bag of tricks, but not bag of tricks. That sounds like I use stuff, but the knowledge, I should say. So.
Oh man.
I used to take great pride in my racial stereotypes and bad words. And now there's so many different ones. I'm like, God damn, I've really lost my abilities. I go, oh, I know what that is. Did you know white people are called snow?
Oh, no.
I just learned that the other day.
Okay.
I was like, oh. All right.
Sure. I mean,
It's still not offensive. It's kind of cool, actually.
yeah, like it's
Call me
well,
Ice, Blizzard, something like that. Yeah.
I laughed when Stunt Cali acted faux offended that I called Tony D'Angelo a Guido this week. I'm like, yeah, that,
yes.
If you're part of the group, you're allowed to throw out that slur. I believe that's the way things work now.
Yes, that's exactly how it works.
I think those are the rules.
Yes, so, then you hear a word that you use 57 times an hour, and you go, oh my God, it's feign that you're upset about it. So stupid. Guido.
And yeah, Guido is about as... Because what didn't... I mean, I swear that they just used that left and right on, like, Jersey Shore. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure that they were okay using that as a descriptor for themselves.
Yes. I'm sure. Yeah. There were Jersey Guidos, I think. And I think there wasn't like a subsect of, you know, there's this sort and this sort, and, well, Jersey Trash, I guess.
Yeah, because that was one where I kind of watched some, but A, it's further in the past than I probably want to acknowledge at the current moment. Without looking it up. And, I didn't, like, consistently watch it. I think I watched the first season and maybe the second, and then I kind of tapped out after that.
I have never seen that show. You're talking about Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
No, that's how much they got embedded in pop culture. I knew who they were, and I could probably pick them out now still. Well, the women, for sure. Well, the two, JWoww and Snooki.
Oh, right. And
I recognize the other ones. I don't know.
Oh, yep. 2009, December 3, 2009 was the first episode.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, shockingly long ago at this point.
See, all those MTV shows and that just weren't my thing. The Real World, I think I stopped watching after that San Francisco one. And then that was kind of it for me and MTV. Then Jackass came along.
Oh.
And I was all about that. Still is. That you watch those old ones, they're still really funny. Actually, all of them are really funny. So never mind.
Yeah, I still haven't. I don't think I've seen the newest movie.
No, I haven't either.
But I did want to, I mean, it does look good. I think it's somewhere now that I have the capability of watching it. I feel like it's Hulu or something.
I think it's Paramount.
Oh, is it Paramount? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I just got that too.
So, yeah. They're
good. Every fucking network for no reason. But
yeah, that's one I've held off on, but
yeah, I do think I've got Hulu, Disney. That's a package. Well, packaged with Spotify. I don't have ESPN.
Oh, see, yeah. Plus. I got the ESPN Plus Disney Hulu bundle.
I tried changing my subscription, and it wouldn't let me. So I was like, whatever. I'm done watching ESPN anyways, because, well, hockey's on. But,
yes.
I don't bother with that station anymore. So
I have definitely watched more ESPN because of hockey. Yeah. I've also watched more
TNT. I don't care.
I've also watched more TNT because of hockey. So.
That's true. it's funny how that works. Like, I started watching AEW because it was on TNT, and now hockey's on there. I couldn't tell you another thing that's on there. Because, you know, because Warner Media's got such a diverse and awesome set of shows. Dude. Okay. So the whole like offensive talk was actually on purpose.
No.
Because of the whole Jay Briscoe thing. So, did you ever see what he tweeted out? Like, it was like 10 years ago, 9, 10 years ago?
Oh, you know, Chris talked about that, but I don't really recall it, honestly. And I don't think I've seen the tweet.
Okay. So, it was around the time when gay marriage was made federally legal, right?
Uh-huh.
And his tweet, and I'm laughing for a specific reason. His tweet said, "Still not a fan of fags." I'm like, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? I don't care if you actually think that way.
Yeah, I 100%, even if it never is said out loud, I 100% expect people to think that.
Yes. So, and I'm not speaking ill of the dead. It's just, it's just one of those egregious ones. Like, there's no way around it. No smiley face, nothing. And, I mean, not that it makes it any better, but still, at least there's some sort of, like, you can get out of it somehow. But...
yeah, well, it doesn't seem like he, and I guess this is one of those things where sometimes it's just like, did this guy go out of his way to beat up gay people?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, though.
I doubt it. So, like, is it dumb and offensive? Yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Check and check.
Pretty rough.
You know, like you said, like, there isn't a whole lot of gray area with that statement.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain your way out of that, you know, that prison cell you just put yourself in. So
yeah, I you can say that, hey, I was wrong, and change your stance. Not that I expect a lot of people to do these things, but some people do change their stance.
Yes, and I think that's the important part of this whole thing. Because for all intents and purposes, it's like. Like, I laugh at the audacity of it. Like, holy shit, man. Yeah. Like, there's no subtlety or nothing? Like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, and then you put that out there, and then thinking, like, you think all your buddies are going to be like, dude, that was fucking hilarious. Like, yeah, I'm with you. Instead, they all get on your case about it? Like, oh. I mean, that makes you seriously have to reconsider things.
One would imagine.
Yeah, and that's apparently what he did.
Yes, and that was this the other thing that Chris kind of mentioned. 2009,
I think this happened?
I think? Yeah, that's a pretty long time ago.
So, the idea that kept them out of WWE, and then later on with AEW... That's kind of reprehensible.
Oh.
Like, if yes. It was a sustained pattern of stuff, then obviously. Oh. But to go and look at something that happened 14 years ago, and then go, now, sorry. And then especially WWE actually telling you no because of this. Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Especially now, like, and I know this wasn't right now; it was years ago, but still. And then the fact that this poor man, the story's horrible.
Oh yes,
I mean, his children are in the car. The other car hit him. Of course, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, which is a dumb move, but it doesn't sound like it was going to matter anyways.
No, like if you're pronounced dead at the scene, I'm. Unless he really flew out the windshield or something like that.
Yeah.
But a head on, and, you know, you're the first person in the head. The, you know, those aren't good odds even with a seatbelt on.
No. I mean, it sounded like it was like a high rate of speed, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
My first thought was the chick was texting and driving and just crossed the center line. That was my first thought.
Yeah, that they're like, oh, they're not sure if alcohol was involved, and I'm just like, yeah, someone was probably fiddling with their phone. Because I mean, it happened at like 5 o'clock or something like that. I'm like, it is way more likely that someone was on their phone than drinking at that time of the day.
Well, I mean, I don't live where they do, so who knows?
Who knows?
But.
The wife releasing the info, because I think when Chris and I recorded, it was just two passengers were known, and it wasn't known who the passengers were. And then the wife releases the information that it was the daughters, and just the they're in critical shape, and they're like, oh, the one's going in for back surgery, and it's just like,
so she can try and feel her legs again. Like,
it's just
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it just. I'm like, okay, it was bad enough that it was both critical condition, like, even without knowing who they were, the fact that it ended up being his daughters, and the one is probably crippled for the rest of her life, one way or the other, like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's just like a horrific story somehow got worse.
And I just, like, the story itself is terrible, and it's been covered, so it's like, you know, how do you go over it again? No. But the reason I'm even bringing this up is we were texting yesterday, and they did the, you know, memory of Jay Briscoe. Cool. No 10-bell salute, which I thought was kind of weird. Because usually if it's a person that's, like, actively employed, you do a 10-bell. Or a legend, they usually do a 10-bell. And I know WWE got away from that because they're like, God damn, we're going to have a 10-bell every other week for a while.
Right.
But Tony Khan's supposed to be the one that's big into wrestling history and, you know, respecting this and that. So I thought it was very odd there wasn't. And then you even said, give it a sec, maybe we'll just do something later. I'm like, that's true. That's what WWE actually does.
Oh.
And then... nothing.
Well, it was kind of...
God.
It was kind of weird. Like, you mentioned it, where just after I text you, I'm like... I heard the same thing that you did, that Excalibur's like, oh, more on that later. Referring to Jay Briscoe. So it's like, oh, okay, great, cool. Like, you guys just kind of did that little graphic, and you're going to, you know, throw together a video package because... hey, you own all of ROH's material. Like, this should be a pretty easy thing to do. You know? Because he's only wrestled in one organization.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, obviously he's been, like, other stops, but still, you know, not...
Yeah, I guess domestically he has really only wrestled with ROH.
Well, I mean, they just got done being Impact Tag Team Champions.
Oh...
and then they did wrestle for Combat Zone, too. But it's like, okay, I mean, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, that was super early on, the Combat Zone, because I did have their stuff pulled up on Wiki the other day. And, yeah, so there were other things, but the vast majority of his career was ROH, especially domestically. Because, yeah, there were the New Japan runs, and because I know that there was some other overseas... runs for them too.
Yeah, Noah, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it's funny, I keep saying it. I keep saying they.
Oh.
And it's just him, but I mean, they're just tied at the hip. I mean, they even feuded together and then got back together. So, or feuded, then got back together. I mean,
right.
So it's so weird. And then even like going back to, okay, so the whole point was like nothing happened. And at the end of the show, they mentioned armbands, and they mentioned how he passed away. And then the show goes off the air. It's like, we're thinking about you, Jay Briscoe. Thank you. That's it. And it's like, that's fucking it? And then Tony Khan says, we're having a tribute show immediately after, which will be on Honor Club for free. No, I'm sorry. That the tribute show will be free, and it'll be up on Honor Club. And it's going to be on YouTube as well.
Oh, okay.
Because Time Warner Discovery, whatever it's called now, wouldn't allow them to do it. Because of something that happened 14 years ago that these dipshits had no idea. No idea this happened.
I did not realize this was the reasoning behind no video package. And, yeah, that is, as we have already said, gross and reprehensible. Right, especially if he seems to have made actual, you know, active choices to better himself, whatever way you want, you know, whatever way you want to term that. Come on, you know. It's weird sometimes where there is no forgiveness. You know, like I understand when someone makes their stance and then never backs down from it. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, then it's like, hey, you know what? You're just bringing this on yourself now. Like, you kind of know what you're dealing with, being in the position that you're in. So,
and it's also I love the selective ethics and morals of a corporation. Like anything that these are words. No, we can't deal with that. But then don't look this way. And all the horrible shit we do over here. Like, it's
yeah.
It shouldn't be a surprise, and really, it shouldn't even be aggravating that they do, like, these large corporate entities do this bullshit, which is what this is.
Oh.
And especially what you were saying, that, you know, he's made the decision, whatever you want to call it, to, I guess, educate himself. And like I said, it sounded like his friends got on his case.
Isn't that the way most people change? Like, it's not because some moron on Twitter said something. It's when your peer group gets on you about something, you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, like, oh crap, I messed up. Yeah, you dumbass. You even better on the gay person? No. Then what do you even know? And then you just insert any group into that. Because I've had that conversation with Shahid before. Well, there are a ton of people, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but there are people who don't hang around Chinese people or don't know any black people or just, you know, all they see is what's on TV, movies, music, whatever else.
Yeah.
They base an opinion off of something you see on Maury.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I get it. It seems, I mean, this is also 14 years ago too. But it's like in an age of technology and easy access to things, you think you'd be able to see stuff and go, oh, okay. Now, if you're with black people, if all you're looking at is World Star, well, like, is there a white people World Star?
There's got to be. I would imagine, speaking of some somewhat corporate synergy, I know that you know, people of Walmart might be in that category.
That's a good one. Yeah. Is that even around still?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Because we work with that company. It was mentioned that we are not allowed to post anything on that website. Or else we would not get business from Walmart. It's just like, okay, it's one of those ones where I'm like, I guess I wouldn't think about, you know, being an asshole in that situation. But it's just like, hey, you know what? I guess you got to say it and you got to put it in there. And they have enough people looking at, like, they are abundantly aware of that website. Also, I will say, yeah. So anything that gets on there is easily tracked. So. Other reason not to do anything, not to post anything on that website.
I was about to say something I didn't, just because you just mentioned you work with them. But no, it's like these corporate entities, this bullshit that they do, like, this man passed away tragically. His peers universally loved him, especially for the changes he's made and how active he became in different causes, apparently. Now, again, this could all be garbage being perpetrated by people behind the scenes, but I really don't think so because it's universal. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, well, and you kind of mentioned it in the text exchange is where you're, because Chris and I were doing this show and you're like, oh my God, they just mentioned it on NXT.
Yeah, that's how I found out.
And honestly, like, that was one of those ones where it was almost more of a gut punch. Like, I really like Vic Joseph, the announcer and the person. And just the way, like, he kind of has more of a, and I mean, he worked for the the Guardians. the Cleveland Guardians and some other, you know, broadcast kind of situation. So he does have a little more of a something of a sports background. I think his delivery worked better in that. Like, I still sometimes have a hard time taking Excalibur seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's just because he's still put in a weird spot to be the Micro Machines guy.
Yeah, yes. And the thing is, like, with Excalibur, I just don't like his voice. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh.
Because I always feel like he's selling me something instead of telling me something.
Oh.
And that came across, like, you know, he had to hurry up and get it out. We love you, Jay Briscoe. We're thinking of you. Like, what? Like... I guess because it had to be so fast, but, you know, it just came off disingenuous. And maybe, and this is really unfair of me, by the way.
No.
And I understand that because he's got to hurry up and he has a job to do, so he can't be breaking apart.
Right. You know?
So it's like, as more as more I'm saying, the more I'm like, God, I sound like an asshole, more so than normal. So,
but I, again, like, I'm still going to say that the Vic Joseph delivery of that, I'm like, oh man, it was a gut punch.
He said Jay Briscoe. I immediately thought of Jerry Briscoe.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, that's too bad. But he was old. And I went, wait, he said Jay Briscoe. And I shot up out of my seat going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I immediately got on, like, Reddit. And I was like, oh my God, Booker T looked pretty... He looked pretty down. I mean, I don't even know if there's a history there, if they even knew each other, but...
Yeah, I guess that'd be an interesting one. I would imagine they probably ran across him at some type of an indie show at some juncture. Because wasn't Booker doing some of that stuff for a while?
He left, did Impact, TNA, came back to WWE real quick, and he's doing his... school stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he didn't. Just because the Briscoes did kind of, as much as they did work ROH, they were kind of around too. And so I guess I wouldn't be completely surprised if they ran into him, but yeah, I don't think they really ran the same places that Booker T did.
Right. But I mean, it's also like, you know, Booker T's got a family and all that too, so I mean, it's gotta hit. I'm going to guess that for people who have kids and all that, that it's going to hit a lot different than for people who, like us who don't.
Oh.
You know, like a father just died with his kids there. Like, oh my God. Just saying it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that hits home a little harder with anyone with children.
Yeah, because I mean, I think Booker just wears most of the time wears his emotions on his sleeves and his words. Jesus, he was on fire Tuesday. Just real quick aside, I did not see Raw at all. Uh-huh. I just forgot to watch. We started watching Where's My Plane? It's on Netflix, and.
Okay.
So do you remember back in the 90s, Pepsi came out with their own catalog, and on the commercial, if you collected so like 7 million or something Pepsi points, you could get a Harrier jet?
Oh,
It's a documentary about that, and it's really good. So,
Okay, yeah.
it also shows you how corporate America just runs everything, because they were guilty as charged, and they got off of it because they had a corporate judge. So, anyways,
Yeah, well, it sounds like I know that Ken and I, for one OPA, did that story about although that was more laundering than the situation you're talking about. The guy that kept on rigging the McDonald's monopoly back in the day.
I've never seen that. I do want to see that.
Yeah, I didn't see I didn't
Sounds
see the
interesting.
doc on it, but I read like some investigative article for Ken and I read it for OPA somewhere in the archives there. But yeah, I guess the thing you're talking about is kind of quite a bit different, honestly.
Yes, like this kid got screwed. But anyways,
Yeah.
if I go back, like that's why I missed that. That's why I missed Raw. We just watched that instead. And then watch the football game too. So,
Raw was just pushing for Raw next week. So you didn't really miss a whole lot.
okay.
Since they're doing Raw 30 next week.
Right, like they're doing this anniversary show right before the Royal Rumble. Just no one cares. Make it the week after or 2 weeks later. Who cares?
Yeah, that's one of those ones where it's just like who I kind of make fun of the one brewery that I invested in, Land Grant Brewing here in town. They originally had their anniversary like in mid-October at some point, and then they realized that the weather's much nicer consistently in mid-September, so they like bumped their anniversary back to mid-September. And everyone's like, cool.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck ever, man. It's not that big of a deal.
But
So, like you said,
yeah.
just push it to. Well, it would be weird to be the Raw after the Royal Rumble, but the
In
week
2 weeks.
after, you know what I mean? Yeah, the week after the Rumble, yeah, the week following the Rumble. I don't know. How do you say that?
The same thing. It's the same.
Yeah.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, have the Raw Triple X show, and it doesn't screw up everyone's momentum. Going into it because they've got it. I mean, there's probably going to be some fun interactions with the old talent and the new talent that will be enjoyable. They always have a hard time working around that, though. It's always funny. They have 3 hours, and it's just like, how can you not work around this properly?
Yeah.
Like, you have more than enough time.
So, so the Jay Briscoe stuff, that's pretty much all I have to say is that Time Warner's awful. Or Warner Discovery's terrible for this. And really,
Yes.
it should be a lesson to anybody who freaks out on people like this. You shouldn't pay consequences for something you did 14 years ago when you've had a significant change in life and you're not jerking your dick telling everybody how much you've changed. But that's all
Yeah.
people want.
That also always seems unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody, like on the anniversary of his tweet, he's also like, hey, make sure you give to the LGBTQ community. Or let's go celebrate Pride together. It's just disingenuous. So he handles it like an actual human being and an actual adult, and this is what happened. It's reprehensible. But then again, it's a Hollywood entity, which, oh yeah, wait a minute. It's Hollywood. Never mind. There's selective ass morals. So, it's overall disgusting.
Oh, well, do you want to get to all things NXT? Like, we didn't really talk about it that much last week.
Well, I wanted to make sure, because you mentioned old timers, that your 2023 production of AEW started off with an angle that surrounded Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, the Big Dude, and Jeff Jarrett. And not in the background, but as a focal point of the television program. I know this is a dead horse. I understand, and I don't care because they keep doing it. It's like Tony Khan's back there going, let's fuck with these people some more. Because they're booing it. Because no one wants this.
Yeah, that's one of the few things that I even think that I'm like, Tony, do you... That crowd cheers everything. It's one... And I guess I haven't really even thought about this that much. And that when the crowd boos in the WWE, sometimes it's just because they know that they're supposed to be booing. Tony yeah. Khan has created an environment where you just cheer everything.
Mm-hmm. And regardless of what it is.
Yeah, regardless of what it is, no matter how anyone, if someone cheats to win... you know, if you're getting the result that you like, you just cheer. You know, to hell with whatever the story is saying.
Yeah.
And yes. it means that there's almost constant cheering. And, okay, cool. You know, it's kind of like if you're watching Japan, you know that you're going to get a different crowd reaction there than you are in the United States anywhere.
Okay.
So, you know, Khan has created this kind of environment. It's just like when people boo there, they genuinely don't like it. I don't know how, like, to me, and I'm not trying to skip to him right now, but it's a small miracle that people are booing MJF again.
Yeah, especially when it really did seem like they should have just kept him as a face.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, whatever. That ship sailed.
Yeah, that kind of is what it is. But to get back to your thing, like, I think the crowd genuinely is more in agreement with us than with AEW themselves, where it's just like, guys, what? But did Sanjay Dutt, quote unquote, lose his job after that match?
No, because he never touched anybody. Like, no one ever touched anybody else.
Oh, because they didn't interfere. Was it? Oh, yeah. God.
And then apparently they couldn't do anything after the match, too.
Oh, that's okay. I misunderstood the stipulation then.
And then the idea, like, and I hate this because, again, AEW is held to a different standard than WWE, like it or not, because they're the ones that are the new wrestling. They're the smarter wrestling. They're the more, now they're not sports oriented anymore at all.
No.
But they're like the smarter one, right?
But they have a ranking system.
Sure. So they come down. There are people in their seats. They come down and go, "You're in our seats," and show them actual paper tickets. And I'm sorry, no. The guys leave. They sit down, and then Danhausen comes through. Okay. And goes, "Where are your tickets?" And they have tickets. And he goes, "These aren't your seats." And then, you know, Chuck Taylor and Trent show up. That's fine.
No.
It's just dumb. It's insulting to think they actually had seats. Because that's not the product you put out there.
Oh.
Make up your mind. And there's another segment later that does the same shit. And it's like, so then they're like, "Well, you have to stand there." If you're, all right, so if we're going to go with their scenario, right? They have the seats that Chuck and Trent have tickets for. Why do they have tickets when they're always backstage? Don't worry about it. So then the big dude, Sanjay and Jeff Jarrett, are standing behind them the whole time.
Oh.
No. You gotta go. You don't have tickets for down here. You have to leave. It's like, do you want this to be real or do you want this to be stupid? Make up your mind. Well, I'm sorry, the whole thing's stupid. Either logical or illogical. And it's, and yeah. I know they're trying to get around the whole like interference stipulation. And Jeff Jarrett is now just a madman who wants to always hit people with guitars. Like, just make it stop. Make it fucking stop.
Well, and just to put the bow on the AEW pie for this whole match, I'm just like, why is the referee out here arguing with Sanjay Dutt, who is lawfully abiding in his seat?
It's not his seat, though.
Just like, fuck. I hate the referees in AEW.
I can't. Aubrey Edwards.
Just with a passion.
I can deal with. She's the only one I can handle.
And she has some drawbacks.
Yes, not as bad as the other ones.
But not as bad as the other ones.
Holy God. Was it Bryce Rensburg was the referee for this one, right?
I think so.
Or was he the referee for the main event? No, he's the referee for the main event. And poor Darby gets his ass handed to him the whole time and pulls out a win. And he's just laying there on the mat because his shoulder's hurt and he's selling. And Bryce Rensburg's over there like pointing at him, like raising his arm, pointing at him. And I'm like, we get it. We know who won. Get the fuck out of the ring. He's awful. And Rick Knox is no better. And who's there's another one too. I'm just forgetting who the other, Paul Turner.
Who
is actually not as bad because I forgot about him. So.
Paul Turner is kind of neutral. Rick Knox is a problem because they always make him consistently look stupid.
Yes.
And Paul, because I liked Paul Turner as a referee in the tail end of the ROH that I was watching, and they still put him in some bad positions just because they do that to all of the AEW referees.
Yeah, I mean, but WWE referees, I guess there's a reason we don't know their names.
It's still one of those weird things. Like, I'm familiar with all the referees in insert league that I watch here. I'm generally aware of most NFL referees. I know their name. I don't know if I know their tendencies per se, just because you're not seeing them like three times.
A show. Yeah. But no, AEW officiating is atrocious. Yeah.
That to me, him going down there, if it was Remsburg, I don't care who, because I know it wasn't what's her name.
It wasn't Aubrey. No,
it wasn't Aubrey Edwards. So it was definitely one of the, and I don't think Paul Turner would participate in those shenanigans. So it definitely seems like it was either Rick Knox or Bryce Remsburg by just default.
Yeah. Now I will say, like, I think Aubrey, it's kind of like an all-encompassing referee thing, is they argue with people when they won't get down from ringside. They get on the apron and they're over there arguing with them. Just turn your back.
Well,
as soon as they don't get down, turn your back. But no, I'm talking specifically for AEW because they're the one that's supposed to be the smarter wrestling.
Uh-oh.
And they keep going back and forth between entertainment and wrestling. Okay, we'll get to NXT in a second, I guess. But
yeah, that
Young
is
Bucks
long,
and Top Flight. I immediately past. Went, why are they sacrificing Top Flight? So when they won, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's do something with them. That works. Which, let's hope. Were you the one that tweeted about Private Party?
Yeah.
As soon as I read it, I was like, oh, that's brutal. Not inaccurate, but that's brutal.
Well, yeah, I mean, Private Party is nowhere to be found these days. So it's just like, you know, that did nothing for their careers. And I mean, I did just have to laugh just straight that the fact that we go through a 7-match series for the Trios title. Like, this is how important it is, the Trios title. Like, we're going to put it on TV 7 for like, what was it, 7 times in like a 10-week time span or something in that area, maybe 9 weeks. And it's just like, then the Young Bucks are wrestling a tag team match because the trio, we all know that the trios championships aren't important.
That's true. They're
I
not.
just it, and I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's hard to maintain 2 divisions in wrestling, honestly. Trying to maintain a third one that involves 6 people per match is a real stretch. You know, like, could you imagine having multiple 6-man matches each show
At
to
least they
make
give you a reason to use all the people on your roster.
but this yeah, maybe it's not as crazy of an idea as I think it is as far as making it viable, because I think both companies have enough people sitting on the sidelines that they could genuinely make a 6-person division and get people on their regular shows more frequently. There's definitely enough room on Raw, as we've talked about on multiple occasions, for, well, since it went to 3 hours, which is way too long ago also now.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Like, the problem with 6-man matches or trios, whatever you want to call them,
Yeah.
by definition, they gotta take longer. They should
Oh.
never go 5 minutes unless it's like a total squash.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yet, you know, then you gotta sacrifice 20 minutes for a 6-man tag team match. Like, no, especially when a regular tag team match can end up going 20 minutes. It'd be better if there was just a way to make the tag team division more vibrant instead of doing 6 because your roster's too bloated. Like,
Oh.
is there a reason there's an ROH 6-man title? Like, do they even have 12 people on the roster right now to field 4 teams?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea who's actually on the ROH roster. Not a clue.
Well,
Not even in a snarky way. I legitimately don't know.
and it's one of those ones too where I guess as much as I complained about that in AEW, that I was seeing too much ROH, I feel like they've almost completely cut that off the last few weeks.
Yes. Yeah, no, they've definitely cut off the Ring of Honor stuff. They have like the people like Claudio and that are on like Dark or
Oh.
Rampage, but they're not in Ring of Honor matches.
Oh, right.
So they gotta, you know, they gotta get that show going eventually, you know, so.
Yeah. They AEW seems in a real weird spot with ROH that's running shows but not really running a television show, which is pretty weird for this day and age. Especially when you have a YouTube deal to start with.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, like
Even YouTube doesn't want to put it up there.
yeah, and then even the so before we go to NXT or whatever, like I actually enjoyed the AEW show. I enjoyed the Young Bucks match. I was going out of my mind.
Oh.
I think it was Darius or was it Dante? One of the Martins. The Bucks were just looking at him while they were waiting for him to jump over the rope, the top rope, and I'm like, they are not just gonna wait for him to hit him. And then they super kicked him. I was like, oh, finally, finally. And then they lost. Like, oh, okay. So,
Well,
just
yeah.
Just want to actually turn into something.
Well, and even to go back to it, Orange Cassidy versus Jay Lethal itself, like, as much as I don't want to see Jay Lethal, I like Orange Cassidy as a wrestler. For the most part, Jay Lethal's good. Like, I'm tired of watching him. Like, I don't feel like he brings, and he doesn't bring enough to the table for me at this juncture for me to be interested in him.
No, you're exactly right. Jay Lethal's problem is not talent.
No.
It's overexposure, and he's boring. I'm sorry, he's boring. Sanjay's not interesting. Just because he's a little weasel who just talks high and really fast doesn't make him an intriguing character.
And he's not intriguing just because he puts a pencil in his goddamn ear either.
Yeah, like, okay. I guess because he books the, I don't even know what the pencil's for. And then Jeff Jarrett, enough said already. So
certainly.
But it really is like, what is this? And then
you have a guy who can't work, who is, like, the same people that watch AEW would say that Omos can't work. And it's just like, but you're okay with Satnam Singh?
You've got an Indian Omos. He's Indian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you have an Indian Omos, and you don't mind that.
Yeah, who's been so terrible at wrestling, they still haven't let him do anything.
Yeah. I mean,
they didn't even let him choke slam people this week. That's how bad it is.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, that guy is, he's, I can't believe he played basketball. Like, he's not, he doesn't appear or looks like he's agile at all. Especially enough to do this sport.
Well, and that the aforementioned basketball. Agility seems to be built into that that sport.
Yeah.
You know, just by nature of how it's played. So, it's really weird. I know that being 7'4" really helps out.
It sure does, but... okay. Like, do you want to be another great Khali?
You know? Dude, you are selling the great Khali short with that one.
Well, I'm just trying to think of tall guys. who else is really tall? Like not.
The over 7 foot crowd is not that large, you know? Even though they sold Taker and Kane is over 7 foot at various points, neither of them were.
Yeah. There's obviously the giant Gonzalez. I forgot about him.
Yeah. Paul White, you know, Big Show, whatever you want to call him. I'm trying to think of who else is in this 7 foot club. Because, I mean, that is a really short list. Yeah.
Well, there was Andre, of course.
Andre,
but,
yeah.
You know, but it's like, that guy's not Andre either, so... Oof. And really, Omos isn't, but he still had a banger big man match with Braun Strowman, who doesn't get credit for his work either.
He's... I think that Omos is improving. It's one of those ones where it's just like, why did you guys put him in this position to start with? It's kind of weird with guys that size. It's just like, as large as Dijak is, to at least make a modern NXT reference, Omos makes him look just tiny. Like, Omos has no position in NXT. So he can't really get seasoning down there. It's like, what do you do with that guy? You know, like, because even though the main roster has some, you know, bigger physically imposing people, there is still some limited interaction that guy can have. Because you're not going to feed him
think about
everyone on your roster, you know, like, just not. Especially in his learning stages.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then the other thing, I'm not a Brian Cage hater like Chris is. But it's like he just shows up and he's having a match with Bryan Danielson next week. It's like, well, why? Like he hasn't
this
had a singles match in forever.
at least it because isn't the story though that it's MJF just putting up all kinds of random opponents against Danielson?
I thought Danielson was picking him himself. He was challenging himself to make sure he's in top form when he finally gets to MJF. That's what I thought it was.
Oh.
But
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Whichever the case, yeah, it's hard to take Brian Cage seriously at this point, just given his AEW track record.
But
He got kicked out of Taz's group post haste and hasn't been relevant since then. And Prince Nana's another one that he cannot be on my television screen ever again.
yeah. Again, it's not personal. It's just it's not appealing. I've never understood the Prince Nana thing anyway, so whatever. But yeah, but there, I mean, honestly, the matches in that were good on NXT. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the other one. We were talking about the tag team division. The whole Billy Gunn Acclaim stuff with the Gun Club makes no sense. All of a sudden he's got a problem? And they're gonna do family therapy next week? Oh my God. No.
I liked the part where he's just like, we should start acting like champions.
That part, yes, I did.
I would not mind if the Acclaim tweaked their gimmick to be a little. I think Max Caster can still do the raps if he still thinks that that's integral to their identity.
Oh, it definitely is, yeah.
But I also think that you can change the content of them to be a little more serious and a little more champion sounding without really changing the gimmick itself. But it would give them an evolution to move towards, and I think that that would be a good thing because, yeah, they've just been kind of a fun sex joke team. I mean, what else do you call their gimmick,
Oh,
you know?
did you know what he said that got edited?
No.
You think you're the bulldogs, but you're the bullshitters.
Oh.
And the only reason I mention that is because later you can clearly hear Austin Gunn saying, "Fuck this, I don't need this shit." And they let that go. What are we doing? And
Honestly, I did not mind that. Just it, I'm like, to me, that's one of those ones where I'm like, that at least gives you a little. If they're gonna bleep some stuff, but let them say it, it makes the live experience a little bit better to me because then you can get it unedited.
well, the only reason I saw it unedited was somebody was in the arena and took their own video of it. That's why.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, I did not see that.
Yeah, that's the only reason I knew what he said. And it just seems one, and obviously, as if you've heard any of the show, they've got a swearing problem on that show. To where, Moxley drops an F-bomb at least once every 4 months. People are swearing more and more on there, and it's like we are on a national, broadcast television. You can't be doing this because Time Warner Media doesn't want it. They don't want the swearing anymore. Even though they want to appeal more to the 18 to 40s, you can't be saying bullshit, and you're not supposed to be. Well, you can actually with no problem as long as your network allows it.
Right.
Say fuck, but still.
It's one of those things that I don't know if you and I talked about it last week or is Chris and I where. Oh, maybe it's Chris and I because we were talking about Rampage. And they were going overboard with the gore there for a while.
She hit the wrong vein or something, dude. We thought, oh my God. Because nobody else is bleeding except her. I was like, no. So.
But, you know, they... That one, Rampage, resonated a little bit more because they had backed off the gory matches. Like, it's, and I'm not even going to say it seemed like. I know that it was where it was like every week there was some type of horrific match and there was bleeding. And it's just like for like a month straight. And it's just like, okay, guys, like you're just bleeding in regular matches now. Who gives a shit? Funny to use a swear at the end of that one. But the swearing is the same thing where if you do it that frequently, it kind of gets to the point where it's just like saying the. Right. You know, it's just like, okay. And they do kind of dip into that territory with this swearing where it's just like, like, this is kind of weird for everyone to be swearing, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessary. It doesn't really provide any real emphasis most of the time in AEW. It's just like, nah, I like to... I'm like, oh, is this one not supposed to be used anymore? They curse like a sailor. Is that too offensive to sailors?
No, I think it's pretty accurate. That's why. Okay. Like, stereotypes exist for a reason. So, what are life's unwritten, horrible rules? That's why they exist. So.
Yeah. yeah. There just gets to be a little too much swearing in AEW. And I guess that's why I was kind of okay with the... You know, to go back to the original one, the bleeping. It's just like, okay, cool. Like, making an at the show thing.
Yeah.
And I almost forgot. You were kind of talking about other aspects. I don't get the whole Tony Storm, Paige, Hikaru Shida thing.
I have no idea what that was about. They're trying to set up the AEW homegrown talent against the evil WWE wrestlers. And they're like, wait, I was just cheering for these people on Friday or whatever it was, last Wednesday. Like, wait, what?
In some ways, I don't mind it. In other ways, it's just like, everyone's going on a role reversal here then. Like, Jamie Hayter is now supposed to be a good guy?
They're getting cheered anyways, just like you said.
This is also true. So. And honestly, I was also sitting there thinking, Paige, just her promos have felt completely out of touch. And I'm sitting there going, maybe this is a good thing to continue to portray her as out of touch and just run with this. Like, I don't think she meant for it to come off that way, but it has. And hey, isn't that one of wrestling's unwritten rules? Sometimes a good storyline just falls into your lap by accident. And you just run with it because the fans are leaning that direction anyway. You're just like, okay, fuck it. Let's just lean into this. And everyone gets to have a good time. Will that happen here? I don't know. Just because she was getting... It's weird. I guess what makes it really weird is the whole Hikaru Shida part of this. She starts to get salty with Tony Storm and Saraya... But then they're the ones that turn heel?
Yes,
Huh?
I know. I know. I know.
That's, and I guess that's why I don't feel like that's, it's just like, huh? Like, that leaves Sheeta in just a beyond bizarre spot.
You're right.
Beyond
I saw
bizarre.
What was going on in front of my eyes. I'm like, this makes no sense. And she was just looking at him like, wait, what? So now you're trying to tell me that her aim really is that bad and she threw it in between the both of them?
Oh, and I guess that was the other thing I didn't really like. Like, she was kind of playing it off like, oh, it was an honest mistake. And it's just like, huh? Like, you were just sliding something. You weren't chucking it from the upper decks down to the floor. And it's a fairly large object. Like, it shouldn't go that far awry. And it drove me even more bananas when Ross Sapp tried to defend it. I'm like, I got nothing, dude. Like, I usually agree with your opinions, but no, this isn't people can be good guys or good girls one week and bad girls the next week. It's just not good storytelling.
No, and this one came out of the blue, too, because everyone was still cheering for Saraya. Or Saraya.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to say that?
I think it's Saraya.
Okay, cool. And Toni Storm. But Toni Storm has always been, like I've mentioned it last week, just kind of, okay. I like Toni Storm. All right, maybe I don't like Toni Storm as much. Like, okay.
Yeah, she has settled into a real, like, oh, okay. I don't, like, what happened here? She was someone that I was definitely pumped about, and now it's just like, okay, I guess there's a Toni Storm match on. It's never bad.
Right.
But
always a disconnect. There's always something missing.
Yeah.
So, but I guess we should move to NXT before the show goes over.
we've been over for a long time. I tried to start with NXT.
I know. Well, I wasn't expecting to talk about AEW that long, actually. But I know we went like a quick aside there, but... I'm real happy with NXT because I'm going to the show. So you keep adding your stuff. I mean, Grayson Waller and Breaker in a cage. You got the women's three-way now.
No.
What else got? Some other stuff got announced. I already forgot. Oh, the three-way, New Day, Pretty Deadly, and Gallus for the titles.
Yes.
I get to see, finally get to see. Pretty Deadly in action, like in person. It's gonna be awesome. There was someone else.
Is Carmelo Hayes gonna have a match with Apollo Crews?
That's what I'm guessing. I mean, it seems like that's where they're going with it. But...
Okay, so that was not officially announced. It definitely feels like that's gonna happen at Vengeance. It's Vengeance Day, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a couple of weeks, but it's a week.
Yeah.
Almost a week and a few days before Valentine's Day. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that card keeps building, and I'm pretty stoked. Like, all right, cool. Because it seems like I'm going to see everyone I want to see. So, as long as Carmelo's on there, it'd be nice if Andre Chase was on. So, I'm sure there's others, but I don't give a shit if Joe Gacy's on there. I don't care about that whole thing.
Oh.
If it was the Grizzled Young Veterans and then Joe Gacy, sure. But not this schism garbage. No. So.
Speaking of my much maligned and slurred friend Tony D'Angelo... I guess thoughts on the fact that he threw two dimes into the river again and B, the fact that he elevated one Stax. Do you think that will do anything for Stax, or are they just maybe forming a tag team at this point?
I'm guessing they're forming a tag team because they don't have anything for Tony to do. I was confused. Like, okay. But that's where it seems like it's going, which is just weird because, you know, Stax was just like, oh, okay, it's Stax. Like, he's the crony.
Oh.
And...
Well, and they haven't brought a crony. Like, it almost seems like they need to add someone at this point. You know, to fill in the crony. If you want to kind of have a full mob kind of team, and they have more than played that up, it seems like you should hire someone in who's probably one of the younger wrestlers, you know, even younger wrestlers, because both D'Angelo and Stax are pretty young themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, bring in someone that hasn't had as much TV time. I guess I'm for it. It still seems like a really fun gimmick, and I guess you're right. Like, if he's not going to be going after Tony D'Angelo, needs something to do if he's not going after championship. To me, at this point, they've done enough to build him up over the past year, even with his injury. You know, it seems kind of title or personal feud for him moving forward. Mm-hmm. You can't just have him pitter putter around. Like, it just doesn't seem like a good spot for him to be in.
No, and I don't know. They kind of had like a run with him, and it didn't, and then he got hurt. And it kind of slowed him down. And now maybe he's not fully healed. So they're putting him in a tag team to make sure. All right, we got to make sure. Because this guy's A quality. So let's make sure he's not, you know, messing up. Going to get permanently damaged. I forgot the Creeds. It'd be cool if they can push the Creeds and Indusheer until the pay-per-view. Or whatever, the premium live event, whatever.
Right.
That'd be fine. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, so. That's an interesting one that got a little bit of a twist with Jinder Mahal coming back down.
And then not being seen again. So, okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they want to do, I guess. If it was really just a one-week fill-in, it seems like a weird one-week fill-in. So,
yeah, and I don't think we always say this when it comes to Jinder. He got a bad rap when he was champion because of the way he was booked. Everyone complains about his like in-ring skill, his talent. No, the man never got an ample opportunity to show anything because no one took him seriously because of the way they, you know, wrote for him. It was terrible.
That might be more of a hindsight for me, as far as that opinion goes, to come up with that for Jinder.
See, I never thought at the time he was bad. It was a shock when he beat Randy Orton. Cool. All right, we need shocking moments. But then they just repeatedly booked every match was the same, and it was like, all right, well, this totally devalues everything. So that was always my problem with him. And I'd argue that way back then, too. Like, Jinder sucks. How do we know?
Yeah, they didn't give him anything to sink his teeth into when he was champion. Definitely, no. In hindsight, they definitely didn't give him anything to work with, really. Because they didn't want to feed him any of the big names, and that really hamstrung his title run. Randy Orton's one of the few big names that, I mean, Randy Orton seems bulletproof for whatever reason, so.
It really is, yeah.
I guess he could do that.
But yeah, I just, the whole thing, I don't know. That was bad, and they brought him back down. So I'm like, oh, okay, so he's gonna be like kind of a mentor or whatever. I don't want them all paired together. Like, let's see what Indushir can do on their own.
Oh,
you know, sink or swim. But
yeah,
you know. But then I'm trying to think, like, you had the whole Brooks and Jensen thing, and with Tatum Paxley and Fallon Henley. Right.
Kiana James, sir.
Whatever. Like, I, that's not even like disrespectful to him.
Tatum Paxley is the one who just gets to stand there and nod with Ivy Nile.
That's right. But it's just these names. So.
Well, that was one thing that honestly that it hit me during this week's NXT. More than some of the recent ones, although it honestly should have hit me. I'm like, holy smokes, the amount of women that they have on that roster is ridiculous.
Yes.
Like,
and like Last Legend hasn't even been on. And
yeah.
Nikita Lyons, what, just did a backstage thing?
Yeah, like, she's another one where she had her injury. She came back to finish off the Zoe Stark feud and has been almost absent from TV since then. Like, yeah, she was in, they were both in the Battle Royal last week.
Yes, yes.
But, whoo, man, they have definitely, all of them have cooled off and we've gotten... Yeah, definitely a little more Kiana James involved, although she was already trying to buy the bar and all those shenanigans, so she was getting some TV time. But they definitely seem to be morphing her into a bigger role to me. If you're getting a love interest on, you know, wrestling TV, they're going to put something behind it. I can't talk about Sol Ruka enough as far as I'm concerned. That shit is ridiculous.
Yes, but who is she? You know what I mean?
Yes, she...
Character-wise...
Yeah, she has no character. She is her athleticism right now.
Yeah, they've given us nothing. So
yeah, that is definitely something that needs to be worked on.
Yeah, but
yeah, she was one of the ones that I'm just like, oh my gosh, and you almost forget about the fact that they have done at least a fairly decent job of keeping not Lacey Evans. Oh my gosh. Because it's, what's in Katana Chance?
Oh, Caden Carter.
Caden Carter.
And Katana Chance.
And Katana Chance. They've done a pretty decent job of keeping those two on there. So they've somewhat kept the women's tag division active. It's just like, oh my God. And who, what, oh, I think it really dawned on me when the Hacker Woman came on.
Yeah.
Or the live streamer or whatever she's calling herself. It's just like, holy smokes. Like,
and Booker T's talking about pulling a Stasiak and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my God, dude. Alright, well.
Yeah, I was like, he is really pulling one from the archives there. When I heard Stasiak, I'm like, oh my, like, huh? Like,
yeah.
That was one where I maybe should have rewound it. To re-listen to that comment.
Yeah, because I think Vic even said, "Whoa, that's harsh, Book." Like, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, yeah, that women's division is wild. Yeah, Grayson Waller continues to kind of just... Yeah, that guy seems like he seems to be destined for big things. There. Oh. Yeah. And on top of the women's pile, I forgot that Thea Hale, Valentina Ferraz was on this show. Electra Lopez, she came back to NXT and has been stuck in neutral. So many women on this roster.
Yes. And oh, a lot my God. That are very similar in appearance. So it gets confusing. Like, all right, is this who that is? Like, oh, okay, all right. But
oh,
they'll figure something out. They'll dye their hair a different color, whatever else. I don't know. But NXT was another fine show. Like, nothing terrible, nothing great. Not offensive. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, there wasn't anything. I think we've kind of covered the major points on that one.
Yep.
So,
that's all I got.
And I guess to round out the new women, Lyra, Valkyria, and which ones did I just scroll past also? Oh, no, I mentioned those two, so never mind. Packed house down there. Did you remember to drink a bell time beer this week?
Sure, sir? Did. Lower left, I'm finished up the Christmas one. South End Santa, it's their oatmeal cookie Christmas ale. I think I sent you one.
Okay, that might be a Christmas in July beer then.
Yeah, it's in a purple can. So,
well,
I'm sorry, I may have accidentally sent one in the mail. I'm not sure. So, or I gave you one when you were here. One of the two.
Yeah,
I did not send it through the mail.
No. Flew home with me. Way back in September.
Oh God, that mess.
whenever that was.
Up, by the way, or is that something we shouldn't talk about?
We can let that slide. But anywho, okay, cool. Yeah, I tend try not to double up on the Charlotte beers, so I. Well, and this is one where I had to laugh really hard when I read this on the side of the can, because I believe I have had this more than a calendar year at this point. It says, drink ASAP in a clean, wide mouth glass. Yeah, let's just say I did not do any of that stuff. This is from the Single Cut Beersmiths Shugi Double Dry Hopped IPA. It is still pretty tasty, given the fact that I did not in any way follow their directions. They are out of New York, so I imagine this is one that I picked up while in the fine city of Altoona, because they have a bunch of New York breweries available at the beer store near my parents' house. So yeah, pretty solid. So if you happen to go up to what is it here? I was just on that side of the can. Astoria and or Clifton Park, New York. Check out Single Cut Beersmiths. This is not their first beer that I've had, because they are, generally available at my parents' place. So yeah. Pretty good brewery from what I have gotten to taste. So, yeah, that is my bell time beer suggestion from @DeFrango11. His was from @GrannyMaze. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.